The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 38. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 10th, 2010, in Lanesha, South Africa.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 38. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayam yogasam siddha kalinat manivindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakon Vitamscha. So, everyone is looking for peace and happiness. The difficulty is, people don't know how to get it. They try to get it by exploiting this material nature. Just like this entire civilization in which we are living in right now, the modern day material civilization is demoniac. It's asuric. It is based on the principle of exploiting the material nature for sense enjoyment. There may be an illusion of sense enjoyment there, but there's no actual happiness. Whatever happiness they may be tasting, it is called maya sukaya, illusory happiness. In other words, this artificial happiness. We are meant to enjoy happiness by our relationship with the Supreme Lord. We are actually connected with Him. Just like the light bulb is connected with the powerhouse, and therefore it is giving light. If the light bulb wants to give light disconnected from the powerhouse, is that possible? No, cannot give. So the foolish modern-day civilization, they want to disconnect from the powerhouse. They want to deny the existence of the powerhouse. They want to deny God, you see. They want to say that through science we shall become God. Or just like Dr. Stephen Hawking said, this universe comes out of absolutely nothing. And he's celebrated as the greatest modern brain in the modern day scientific world. And he says this universe comes out of absolutely nothing. So we can see what we're up against in a society where such persons are celebrated as the biggest thinkers, the biggest brains. They want to deny the existence of God. They want to deny the existence of the Supreme Person. And they are simply encouraging us to try to find happiness by exploiting this material nature. But such exploitation is against the laws of nature. Therefore, it can only do nothing, can't do anything except for bringing more and more havoc and chaos on this planet. So something has to be done to stop it. That's why I'm traveling and preaching all over the world, we're trying to do something to put a break on this material civilization. Because the way it's going now, the whole thing is going to collapse very soon. It's just going closer and closer to the edge of complete destruction. So we're trying to take advantage of the facilities of the modern civilization to liberate it from its destruction course. One may say, well, if you're against the material civilization, why are you using a microphone? Why are you flying on British Airways? You see, why are you using the internet? Why are you using an iPhone? Why are you doing all of this? You see? Well, it's compared to pulling out a thorn with a thorn. If you're doing Govardhan Parikrama, you may get a thorn in your foot. And if you left your tweezers back at the ashram, what will you do? How do you get the thorn out of your foot? You can take another thorn and you can nab that first thorn and pull it out with a thorn. This is called removing a thorn with a thorn. So we can use the facilities of this civilization to save the world from this civilization, actually. This is called yukta-vairagyam. This is the highest form of renunciation, to take everything, seeing it as the energy of God, and therefore using it in the service of God. There's nothing that exists which is not the energy of God, even the modern-day technological civilization. It is all the energy of God. It's like we're using the internet, its ultimate self-realization course, you see. So whatever is there, use it. Why artificially deny something? That I can't ride on the airplane, I have to go from village to village by walking, I have to take a sailboat, I can't take a motorboat, you see. I can only use natural conveyances, horses, bullocks, and maybe a bicycle if you're pushing it. No, we can use any modern day technological advance, and we can use it for the highest purpose of enlightening the world in Krishna consciousness. Because the fact is that everybody is miserable, everybody is unhappy. Everybody is scared of what's going to happen when the global warming gets worse and all the glaciers melt and New York City is completely underwater and Cape Town and Port Elizabeth are underwater. Yeah, people are scared about what's going to happen with this global warming, all the glaciers melting. It used to be the Arctic zone, the ice remained. Now during the summer you can go through there in a boat. It was never like that before. The Arctic zone, north of Canada up there, see. You couldn't go through there on a boat at any time of the year, but now during the summer you can go in a boat through the Arctic zone. So we have a major, major climatic changes happening. We have the deserts expanding. It's crazy what's happening right now. People are scared what's going to happen. But we don't have to worry, really, for Krishna conscious. We don't have to worry because Krishna will always take good care of us. Just like during World War II, the Britishers they manipulated a famine in Bengal. The people were starving. It was all done by the British manipulation. Very cruelly, they manipulated the economy. So the Indians would be, out of economic necessity, be forced to join the military and get good pay. It was a trick of the Britishers to get Indians to join the army to fight against Hitler, you see. So many people were starving. But Prabhupada never had any problem, you see. Even though he was in Bengal and so many. So the point is, if you're Krishna conscious, Krishna will take good care of you. He takes care of his own men, you see. He takes good care of his men, you see. You become Krishna's man or Krishna's woman, and Krishna will take very good care of you. You don't have to worry. So our worry is not for ourselves, you see. We're not scared of ourselves. We know we're always protected by Krishna. We're worried for those rascals out there. What's going to happen to them? That's our fear for them. You see, we know we have no problem. Personally, we have no problems at all. Krishna will always take good care of us. He can easily feed us, clothe us, give us nice, comfortable residence. Everything Krishna will provide. We have no fear for our situation. Whatever money we need, we know Krishna will give it to us. You see, whatever we need, we know Krishna will provide. We're worried about them. Those poor rascals out there who are not Krishna conscious. That is our anxiety. So for their sake, we want to spread this movement. Is there some questions coming in? All right, let's take the questions. Why is Sri Radha so important? We'll ask Krishna about that one. She's Krishna's life and soul. It is said that if you are a devotee, you release and liberate 21 generations before and after. Please, Maharaj, can we explain? Yeah, this benefits everybody in your family, actually. Anybody who's related to your body, they get great benefit. If you become a pure devotee, that means you have to be a pure devotee also. Not that you're not liberated. If you're a karma, mishra, bhakti, practicing Krishna consciousness but still attached to sense enjoyment, who stays in the cycle. In other words, to go back to Godhead, Prabhupada says you have to be a pure devotee. If I have any material desire, I come back again as a devotee in my next life. I don't go back to Godhead. You know that? It's not that you're initiated, you're chanting, Hari Bol, going back to God is some automatic thing. No. Even Prabhupada said about Jayananda, did you ever read that letter he wrote to Jayananda after his disappearance? He said, if you had any material desire, you went to the heavenly planets. Prabhupada said that about Jayananda. But because you were hearing the kirtan and you left your body, therefore you went back to Krishna. So these kirtans for departing souls is very important then. Very important then. Even if you're not completely pure yet, if you can be hearing the kirtan, that kirtan will carry you back to Krishna. So anyway, the liberating the others, that depends on your liberation. So if you want to benefit your family members, you become a pure devotee. What is the importance of doing service to the Lord? Well, if you're no one to do service, how are you even a devotee? If you actually love someone, you will serve them. If you don't want to serve them, it means you don't really love them. Love is seen in the form of service. How much service mood do you have? That just means how much love you have. You can't say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and not have a service mood. And that love is simply lip love. It's not real love. Actual love means service. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do we face challenges, difficulties, and adversities in daily family life as devotees, striving on the path of devotional service, but facing many impediments, sometimes more than the non-devotees? No, you don't face more impediments than the non-devotee. If you think you're having more impediments than the non-devotees, you don't understand what's happening. The biggest impediments of all are birth, death, old age, and disease. A devotee has the key of how to bypass those impediments. If you're thinking, well, you know, I lost my job, or, you know, my dog got run over by a car, or something like that, these are not the heavy-duty impediments. The heavy-duty impediments are birth, death, old age, and disease. So if you think the non-devotee is getting more less impediments than you, that means you need to refine your vision of what is the meaning of impediment. You've got to refine your vision, because actually, for someone who's engaged in Krishna consciousness, there's no such thing as an impediment. Everything, every so-called impediment, is simply a stepping stone on the path to pure bhakti. Anything. I mean, I'm talking about absolutely everything that happens to a sincere sadhaka, someone who is practicing this, trying to get free of material desires. Everything that happens to him, he takes as a stepping stone on the path to pure bhakti. So there's no such thing as an impediment. Everything is a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Just remember, stumbling blocks do not exist for those who are sincerely taking bhakti. They're stepping stones, they're not stumbling blocks. Just like when death came to Dhruva, he stepped on the head of death and got to the Vaikuntha airplane. He wasn't bewildered, oh, death is coming, oh, horrible. No, death is coming, welcome. Come on, death, now I step on your head and get into that Vaikuntha airplane. How do we become the perfect child, son or daughter to our parents and show them the appreciation and gratitude we have for them? even though we face so many, by always serving them. That's all. Always serving your parents, especially if they're devotees. Always try to serve them and make sure that they're always happy. So the questions have run out now? More coming? Yeah?
You said something about what Prabhupada said to Janan, that by leaving the body when he's hearing the kirtan, then they can go back.
He understood that Janan went back to Godhead because he was hearing a kirtan when he left his body.
Then you emphasized that when he's leaving the body, kirtan is very important. But the kirtan may be going, and if someone's mind is somewhere else, can they go back?
Not necessarily. He said because Jayananda was hearing the kirtan and he knew Jayananda personally. He said, I'm sure, Prabhupada was sure he had gone back to God because Jayananda was hearing the kirtan. And somebody else is hearing a kirtan, not if somebody was not even a devotee and they're hearing a kirtan, doesn't mean they're going to go back to God. But it could. Just like, what was the mother's name? The boy's name? Kartikeya, his mother, at the time of her death, the son was there. She said, "Where is your Krishna now?" And Prabhupada said she went back to Godhead.
Yes, she was remembering Krishna. But my question was that if the kirtan is going on and someone's thought is somewhere else, the person living the
well, then that could be a problem. Yeah. That means, what does that mean for us? That means whenever there's a kirtan, we should try to absorb ourselves in and get practice. Thinking, well, this could be my last kirtan. Whenever there's a kirtan, try to bring yourself into the kirtan. It's a meditation. Don't have your body in the kirtan and your mind over there at the shopping mall. You see? Bring your mind to the kirtan because it's a training for death. You want to be able to absorb yourself in kirtan. At the time of death, when there's a kirtan, you want to go, okay, now let me just go with it. Wherever it takes me, I'm ready. You see. Anything else? All right. How can we remember all the lectures? Well, if you were the super soul, you'd have no trouble doing that. But I don't think any of us can remember all the lectures and instructions of Srila Prabhupada. All the lectures, we've even heard all the lectures. They're not even all recorded. You can try your best to remember, but how much you can remember. You should capture the essence. That's the important thing. Just if you can remember some of the lectures and some of the instructions as they relate, that's all we can really do. Hear as much as possible the lectures of Prabhupada, read as much as possible of his books. I mean, who can memorize all of the statements in Prabhupada's books? In this age where our memories are not so powerful, we are not Shruti Dhara, who can remember all of those instructions? So you read and hear as much as possible, remember as much as you can. And what does Krishna say? Ananyaschintayantomam ye janarpayapasate teisham nachabiyukranam yogatemam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. If you want to remember, then you should constantly be training yourself in the art of remembering. Take key instructions of Srila Prabhupada and put together a memorization list of all the things you want to remember, special high points, and then study those again and again and again. I have a sloka list of Bhagavad Gita verses, and I review that list of all the Gita verses I want to be able to quote. The tip of the tongue, right? On the tip of the tongue. Be able to quote them just as needed, in any time, any place, any situation. So I work very hard on always keeping that list current, practicing, staying in shloka shape. So I have to work hard at that because our tendency is to forget. Just like today, I forgot one shloka during the evening meal. We were working. We finally dug it out of the old memory. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kato pilavyate tattala yangma pimulyame kalam janma kotir janma sukritair. Let's see, sukrit, what is it? See again, forgetting. Janma koti sukritaira labhyate. Yeah, there it is. So that's a very poignant instruction of Srila Prabhupada. That really enlivens me like anything. So I suggest take certain instructions that really, really enliven you like anything and remember those. You see. You can't remember all of them. It's not possible. But take those instructions which really, where you go, wow. You know, they really, really incite you and enliven you. You memorize those things. There's like, I remember certain things. Obviously, the things that Prabhupada told me are very special. Like I quoted you in the beginning, you know, continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Or another one I really like, he says, the Krishna consciousness is in the Bhagavatam purport. A Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and those who follow him will also become perfect. So that means if you're really Krishna conscious, then you should be meditating on how to save the world. Are you thinking, how can I save the world? How can I live my life in such a way that before I leave my body, I see that the whole planet will be Krishna conscious? You see? How can I live my life in such a way that I will see that this whole planet is Krishna conscious before I leave this place? That's Krishna consciousness. If I'm not thinking that way, that means I'm thinking about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Every Krishna conscious person should be thinking, how can I live my life in such a way that this whole planet will be Krishna conscious before I leave my body. You see? Every devotee should be thinking that way. So that's why that particular instruction I like a lot. And so you can't remember all of them, but just pick out key ones, focus on them, and the beauty of it is, if you get certain key ones that you focus on, then you can keep adding to that list, keep building up your repertoire of key instructions that enliven you like anything, that you can preach about it, you can think about it and get enlivened just by sitting, you're sitting on the bus waiting to go to school, you know, and you just meditating on that instruction going, wow. You just in your mind, it's like reading Prabhupada's purport, just in your mind while you're on the bus. So, it's really, I remember when I was, I was a brahmachari for 14 years and then I got married and I was going to some computer school, study computer programming. But what enlivened me the most was that's when I started memorizing verses. And I would just be reciting those verses, going up the elevator at the computer school, you know, I'd be going up the elevator, I'd be reciting a verse in my mind, or driving through downtown Dallas, you know, I'd be reciting a verse in my mind, Matak Pradata Ranyanat Kanchidasti Janandaya Mayi Sarvamidam Pratam Shutrimani Gana Iva. I was going, wow, downtown Dallas is just like a string of pearls, you know. Krishna says, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. I go, wow, that applies to downtown Dallas also. I'm driving on the freeway through downtown Dallas seeing all these skyscrapers. They're just like pearls. And Krishna is the string holding the whole thing together. If you take Dallas and you go minus Krishna and the whole thing disappears. It just vanishes. It goes back into prairie dust, you know, or lower than that. It goes back into Mahatattva, or even lower than that. Pradhan, even lower than that. So, in this way, if you could take certain things, like that verse, I was just taking key Bhagavad Gita verses, then I could see the whole world through the eyes of the verses while I was driving down the street, going, wow, that's really amazing. This is all pearls on the string of Krishna. Same thing in Johannesburg, you know. You have to see there's a thread going through here. It's called Krishna. Malaysia also has a thread going up and down this street through all these houses. And that thread is Krishna. When you pull out the thread, all these houses are gone, finished. Your material body also. Mine is Krishna, nothing. Bhumira, Pona, Lava, you, even they wouldn't be there. The eight material elements that make up your body. So just try to always see everything through the eyes of Scripture. And you will find more and more instructions, more and more key points that you can keep adding to your repertoire to deepen your vision more and more and more until you finally reach that point that every devotee wants. What is that point? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shunyaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham majami. To where you can see Krishna everywhere with anyone else. Directly see Shama Sundar. So the way to do that is the pathway of these instructions. Learn how to see the instructions. Learn how to see through the eyes of the various verses. That is the pathway that will eventually lead you to seeing Krishna directly face to face in his original Shama Sundar form at every minute. Can you please tell us a pastime with Lord Chaitanya and a dog? Why are you interested in dogs? Somebody has a pet dog or something? They're attached to their pet dog? Oh, the neighbor's dog? Yeah, there was a dog who went back to Godhead. Yes, actually that dog, Shivananda Sen, he was a very wealthy man. So he sponsored the parikramas. The other they were poor villagers from Navadvip. But he was a wealthy man, so he was footing the bill for the parikramas. Just like if some wealthy man paid everybody's ticket to Vrindavan. Okay, we're all going to Vrindavan and I'm paying everybody's ticket, you see. It's kind of like that, you know. So Shivananda Sen, he was paying footing the bill for the parikrama. And the parikrama party in those days, they didn't have bus, they didn't have car. So they're walking. By walking, they go to Jagannath Puri from Navadvip. So along the way, one dog, he started tagging along with the party. And so Shivananda Sen, he wanted to make sure that dog also got prasadam. You see, that is Vaishnava. He wants to make sure the animals also do not go hungry. They actually came to a boat crossing, and you know everyone pays a fare to get on the boat. And the boatman would not let the dog go for free. He said, "You have to pay for a fare for the dog also." So Shivananda Sen, he paid fare for the dog also. And one day the dog went missing, and Shivananda Sen was in great anxiety. Where is that dog? And he fasted actually in anxiety about the dog's disappearance. Anyway, the dog didn't show up. And they got to Jagannath Puri. They're having the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And who was there? Who got there before they? The dog was there with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would take that green mango pulp, you know. The dog would go, "Hari Bol." He would throw the mango pulp to the dog. He would go, "Hari Bol."
Coconut pulp.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean to say. Green coconut pulp. And the dog was going, "Hari Bol." And then the dog disappeared again, and it was told he went back to Vaikuntha. There was also a dog, even in recent time in ISKCON history. In our early days in our Mayapur temple, in the evening time, devotees would go for the prasadam, you know, milk prasadam, and prasadam home. And then when all the devotees would go for prasadam, this dog would come sneaking in, and he would look around. He'd come into the temple room and offer his obeisances to the deities. Because the dog is not only allowed in the temple room, right? So he'd wait till all the devotees went for prasadam, and then he'd come in and take darshan, offer his obeisances. So, Please give us some tips on how to chant the holy name of the more effectively. Well, you have to realize you're drowning. Can we shut that door? It's my tape is going to distort. I have a special gain control on the tape. It's going to make the box extra loud on the recording. So you have to realize that you're drowning in the ocean of birth and death, and chanting is trying to attract the attention of Krishna to save you. So how much eager are you to be saved? Would you rather drown? You have to decide, do I want to drown or I want to be saved? And once you make up your mind, then you will chant appropriately. Next question. Adi Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned we have to pay fares. So what fare do we have to pay for something priceless? Like, who wrote this? You did? Yeah, that I just quoted that verse. Tatlalayam Krishna Bhakti Rasa. This is from the Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Kuto Pilabhyate Tatlalayam Apimulyame Kalam Janma Kautir Sukritayana Labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds, thousands, and millions of lifetimes. It can be attained only by paying one price, and that is the intense greed to attain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. These are the words of Rupa Goswami. So, what is that price? That price is faith. That's the money, that's the currency. It's not the rand, it's not the dollar, it's a currency called Shraddha. It's not, you can't exchange it at the money exchange counter. You can't take rand and get Shraddha. But you can Shraddha is there within your very heart. You can pull the Shraddha out of your own heart. If you understand that Shraddha is the only price I can pay to get bhakti, then you can pull that Shraddha out of your own heart. If you are very, very eager to get bhakti, then the Shraddha, the necessary currency to pay for that bhakti, will become manifest. Please tell us one special pastime regarding Lord Nrisingadev, or Lord Nrisingadev in Mayapur. Well, when the Murtiwala who made him, after they finished making him, their shop burned to the ground. That's one pastime. It's a very heavy thing. Making a Sringadeva deity like that is a very heavy thing. But I know that there's great power in the name of Lord Nrisingadev. That was my experience before we had a deity of Nrisingadev. One night during Melk Prasadam in our Miami temple, some armed bandits came with guns to rob the devotees. They went to the kitchen first of all, which is a separate building, and they knocked the devotees on the head and bound them up. One devotee pretended like he was knocked out so they wouldn't hit him again. And they grabbed one brahmacharini and they put a gun at her head and they came, her hand over the mouth, they came into the prasadam room with this brahmacharini. And into the prasadam room. And they said, everybody get on the floor. So all the devotees got on the floor except I didn't get on the floor. I was thinking, what is this nonsense? Lord Nrisingadev will protect us. So I yelled out, Nrisingadev! Made a real, real loud thing. Nrisingadev! Well, I got the Ramachandra got was relieved of the gun. They pointed it at me now. See. Then I thought, well, I think it's time for a little negotiation. You know, I said, we're your friends. What do you want? I said, the money. Where's the money? So anyway, that I take it that because I had invoked the Lord Sringadeva out loud like that, it really then from that point on, the Sringadeva's mercy manifested very quickly. What happened was, the temple president, the temple treasury, where all the money was, just happened to be just right adjoining the Prasadam room. The treasury was right there, 5 feet away from where the thieves were standing, and they didn't know, you see. So the temple president, he just came walking. He happened to be in the treasury at the moment. The treasurer was in there also, behind the desk in the treasury. And the temple president came walking out, just kind of coming out, maybe get a little milk prasadam, and he opened, he saw an armed robbery going on. He went like that, and he turned around to go the opposite way. The thief ran against and hit him on the head with a gun. He drew blood out of his head. But Abhiram was very, very smart, very cool and smart man. He audibly stated out loud, "Get the gun and shoot the bastard." So, and the temple treasurer, in those days, whatever the temple president said, you did. He was Prabhupada's representative. The temple president says, "Get the gun and shoot the bastard." You grab the gun and you shoot. That's it. It was like the military in those days in ISKCON. It's the temple president's word is law. If he says, "Get a gun and shoot," you get the gun and shoot. So the temple treasurer did that. He grabbed that gun, ka-wham, but he missed. But the thieves were long gone, though. As soon as they saw that gun, they weren't ready for a gunfight. They were running like scared rabbits out of the... So I took it because I yelled the name of Lord Nrisimhadeva and invoked his mercy on that situation. And the whole armed robbery attempt was completely dismantled by the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And our GBC man then appreciated very much. He was very much appreciating that I had, instead of bowing down on the floor like everybody else had done, I had boldly called out the name of Lord Nrisimhadeva in that situation. So any other questions? That's it?
Okay. Just one question.
Okay.
With this Kali Yuga being so predominant and, you know, impact on our youth, how do we counteract to get the youth more involved in Krishna consciousness?
Inspire them to be revolutionaries. It's like Prabhupada inspired us to become revolutionaries. Get them in the mood of changing the world. You be in the mood of a revolutionary also. That's what you have to do. You be in the mood of a transcendental revolutionary, always trying to push forward this movement in every possible way, and the children will follow automatically. Don't just think of, you know, having Krishna conscious household life. That's nice, but it's not nice enough. We have to think about saving the whole world. We have to always be meditating and saving the whole world. That's our mission. How we can push for this movement and convince everyone to become Krishna conscious. That's what we have to think. If you have that revolutionary zeal, that will be very inspiring for the youth. The youth are naturally inclined to want to be, to change the world. That's the mood of a young person. They don't want to just be a dumb follower of the previous generation. At least we saw that in the 60s. That mood, is it still going on, that mood? You want to be a dumb follower of the previous generation, or you want to do something dynamic to save the world? Yeah, see? You just got to lead the way. You have to be in the mood of a, you know, some kirtan hero. How I can push forward this movement, whatever it takes. Be in that mood. That will inspire the children like anything. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Maharaj, you know, they speak of Christ consciousness, Allah consciousness. So, trying to push Krishna consciousness forward. So how do you get those devotees?
The whole point is pure bhakti. Krishna consciousness means pure bhakti. So, the difficulty with the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews is their God consciousness is selfish. It's not selfless. They're approaching God to fulfill their own desires, you see. It's not pure. It's not pure bhakti. We have nothing against Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or any of these things, but let them be in the mood of pure bhakti, of wanting to serve the Lord's desires, not serving, using the Lord to serve their own personal desires. You understand? So this is we're preaching pure bhakti. We're not trying to convert the Muslims to becoming Hare Krishna people. We want them to become pure Muslims, of actually becoming saintly and doing everything for the pleasure of Allah. Not in the name of Allah, push for their own personal sense gratification agendas. You see? Like they're doing now within Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Everyone's guilty of it. They use God for their own sense enjoyment. God is the order supplier, the giant 800 number in the sky. 1-800-GOD. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. Like that song, you know? Give me a Cadillac. A brand new Cadillac. Replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see? The Hindus are just as guilty as anybody else. You know, everyone's guilty of this mentality. And therefore nobody is happy and no one is peaceful. Because everybody is lusty for sense gratification. That's the problem. So pure bhakti means no more lust, no more anger, no more greed, no more madness, no more illusion, no more envy. Everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Person, whether you call him Allah, Krishna, Jehovah, doesn't matter. But Prabhupada is explaining it better than anyone. Therefore, we want everyone to read Prabhupada's books. The Muslim, the imams and the rabbis and the priests are not explaining it very well. They themselves are not pure. Prabhupada is pure. And those who strictly follow Prabhupada, they are pure. So, Prabhupada is the true leader of this planet. His teachings are the leaders, the teachings which will guide the whole world out of chaos. So we want to push forward Prabhupada's teachings, not that we want them to convert, let them use Prabhupada's teachings to become pure Buddhists, pure Christians, pure Muslims, and pure Jews, and pure Jains, and pure Sikhs, etc., etc., etc. Anything else?
Can I ask one more question?
Another one? Yeah?
When you go back to Godhead, you go to Golok Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you speak of eternal life in Vaikunth.
Eternal life in Vaikuntha.
Okay.
The difference between the two, Maharaj?
Goloka is also part of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, the whole spiritual world is called Vaikuntha. So, within Vaikuntha, there's one Vaikuntha planet, which is the topmost Vaikuntha planet. That's Goloka Vrindavan. If you're in Goloka, you're in Vaikuntha. Just like if you're in Johannesburg, you're in South Africa. So, Goloka is one of the planets within the Vaikuntha realm. It's the topmost planet of the Vaikuntha realm. But sometimes if we say Vaikuntha, sometimes we talk about it as being outside of Goloka in the spiritual world, but actually, it can be either way. You have to understand according to the context. We say, I want to go to Vaikuntha. That doesn't mean I don't want to go to Golok. Understand? Because Golok is part of Vaikuntha. It's the topmost in Golok, in the Vaikuntha planet. Vaikuntha means without anxiety. So are there anxieties in Krishna Loka? No. Completely free of anxiety. So it is also Vaikuntha planet. Without anxiety. Anything else?
Only the rasa is different.
Huh?
Only the rasa is different.
Only the rasa is different,
right? It's a sweeter rasa, that's right. The rasa is sweet too. You go from formal relationship to intimate relationship. That's the difference. You can have a formal relationship like yes sir relationship with God, or you can have, you know, a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship with God. All the formalities are laid aside. There are some servants in Golok, though, who have a servant mood. What was his name? Patri? I forget his name. Patri? There are a few devotees in the mood of servitude in Goloka Vrindavan. You know, there's the cowherd boys who are his friends. He also has, Krishna has servants in Goloka Vrindavan also. There's one servant, Patri or something like that was his name. And Krishna was laughing and joking with the cowherd boys, and he was there, and he started getting in the mood of laughing and joking. All of a sudden he goes, "Oop, that's not my, I'm the servant, I better not get into that mood of laughing and joking." So he checked himself. He started drifting into that mood. He realized it wasn't his position. So it's described in Nectar Devotion. So he put himself back into the mood of being servant. So there are some devotees in the servitor mood in Goloka Vrindavan also, who are not in the mood of cowherd boy, you know, boyfriend mood, servant moods. Krishna has servants in Golok as well as the boyfriends. Different mood.
So Maharaj, can we move from one Vaikuntha planet to another? Maybe
yes, one could. Generally, whatever rasa you have, you're completely satisfied. It's your sarup, your eternal rasa. But Prabhupada also explains that one can actually switch rasas. There's no hard, and there's complete freedom in the spiritual world. If you're a servant of Vaikuntha, you want to be a gopi, there's nothing to stop you. Now someone could say, well, if that's the case, then surely everybody would want to be a gopi. Just imagine if everybody was a gopi. It's just Krishna and the gopis. Then there couldn't be any gopis. You know why? What does gopi mean? Cowherd girl. If there's no cows, how they can be gopis? You understand? If everybody's a gopi, then no one can be a gopi because there's no cows. So there has to be cows also. The point is, even though everybody has complete freedom, some will want to be gopis, some will want to be cows, some will want to be calves, some will want to be servants, some want to be friends, some want to be in a parental mood. Some will want to be a butterfly, somebody will want to be a bamboo, somebody will want to be a hut that Krishna lives in or a garment that he wears. There will naturally be devotees who are inclined to that position. That makes Goloka very wonderful. Just imagine if nobody wanted to be Krishna's garments. I mean, they'd be going around like Naga Babas, you know. Some devotees agree to be Krishna's garments. That's their rasa, to be Krishna's dhoti. That's a devotee. A devotee gets to be Krishna's dhoti, you see? That's some devotee who's doing that service. He's being Krishna's dhoti. Just imagine that intimate contact. He's Krishna's dhoti, wrapped around Krishna's body, you see? So in this way, it's actually amazing. Just go to that place. If you really want to know what it's like, then qualify yourself by pure devotion. Become initiated disciple of a bona fide guru, fully surrender to guru's instructions, to follow Prabhupada's teachings. And in this way, you'll become fully qualified to go back to home, back to Godhead, and taste the most inconceivably sweet rasas of transcendental loving relationship with that all-powerful, all beautiful, all renounced, all knowledgeable, all wealthy, and all
beautiful.
I named that one already.
Opulent.
I named that famous personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So I guess we'll stop here. And we thank you so much for coming tonight. Each one of you, by your presence here, made it a much more auspicious gathering by your being here. So I can't really thank each and every one of you enough for your so kindly coming to participate in this program of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sankarsha Dasa Vikari Maha Ki Jai Vishnu Pravata Ji Ki Jai.